Greetings and welcome into the CBMW podcast, your weekly speech therapy session to help you biblically process our world of anthropological confusion. Hey, we wanted to let you in on a little story here that's developed as of late last week. Vice President J.D. Vance, alongside Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert Kennedy Jr. and Admiral Brian Christine, the Assistant Secretary of Health, they released a report last week entitled Wolves in White Coats: How Doctors and Hospitals Pushed and Profited from Fraud, the Fraud of Gender Medicine. The report itself focuses on profit incentives that are inherent in transgender medicine, alleged misuse of hospital billing codes to secure insurance reimbursements for these treatments, the Biden administration's push for transgender procedures, and the ideological capture of major health institutions pushing transgender medicine. As a result of the report, Secretary Kennedy and Vice President J.D. Vance have referred some 225 healthcare institutions identified in the report to the DOJ for alleged violations of federal law. A lot going on there. Colin, what are your general takeaways from this announcement and the report itself?
Yeah, when I saw this news, one of the first things I thought is, man, elections have consequences. What a 180, what a sea change from the last administration. Instead of, you know, the HHS and the secretary and the assistant secretary pushing this ideological nonsense. I mean, you remember the assistant secretary of Health and Human Services was this man named Richard Levine. He went by the name Rachel Levine. He himself claimed to be transgender. So not only was he himself tied up in this ideology, but he was pushing it actively on hospitals and doctors across the nation. And what this report shows is several of those hospitals, hundreds of them, medical providers, et cetera, were eager and willing to go along with this ideology to the point where they were actually profiting from it. And there was some big money to be made in this industry. And I think what this report indicates and reveals is just how wicked this ideology was. That, I mean, if just put it in you know, plain terms here, we had doctors and hospitals profiting off of the mutilation of children. That's what this report shows. They were coding these hospital visits, these procedures, et cetera, falsely, it seems like, from this report, in order to be able to get reimbursed from insurance companies that probably would not have insured some of these experimental procedures that they were recommending and they were prosecuting with these children. And then it also reveals how many of these procedures, it's not just a one-off. These children that underwent these surgeries, they are now signed up for a lifetime of medical intervention. It's not just one doctor's visit, it's a lifetime of them. And who gets to profit from that is the doctors in the hospitals. So just taking a step back, looking at this, I'm thankful on this issue that we have a vice president willing to speak the truth in this. We have a health and human services secretary willing to do that. And also not just speak about it, but really put action behind their words and refer these hospitals to the DOJ for criminal investigation. I hope that it is a point that we can look back to, that this is a massive turning point for the country on this issue. I guess that's yet to be seen what happens next election cycle, next administration, et cetera. But at the very least, a warning shot has been fired across the bow, and I'm thankful.
Denny, you have been thinking and writing, researching about these trends, both just in culture and their theological ramifications for years. Does anything that Colin and I have described in this report, just in terms of the financial incentives, even the potential fraud, and of course the recommendation of these procedures by major medical institutions, is any of this surprising to you?
Not really, because if you've been paying attention to what they've been doing for a long time, it really all is a kind of a ideological linguistic sleight of hand. They say that they're doing gender-affirming care, but what they are doing actually is mutilating the healthy bodies of children. We've talked about on this podcast many times about the fact that At the end of the 2010s, we saw like a 4,000% increase in the number of young women who were identifying as transgender or non-binary, and many of whom were going in and receiving some sort of treatment, like to stop their puberty if they were young enough, or to put them on opposite sex hormones. And then many of them had mastectomies. And I can remember, this was like maybe in 2017, looking at the cover of National Geographic, had a cover story on affirming LGBTQ identities. One of the stories had a young man, or a picture of a young man holding his skateboard with his shirt off. And it says that this young man, enjoys skateboarding in his neighborhood. But then it says he had his breasts removed like a year or so before. And if you looked really closely, you could see these little scars on his chest. And so it wasn't a boy. I was looking at a little girl, a 16-year-old girl who had had a double mastectomy and was now standing there with a skateboard posing as a boy. And somehow her parents and medical providers thought all of this was, normal healthcare. That's not healthcare. That's you've just destroyed that young woman's breast. They will never be functional again. And I read another horrific story of, this one was about a kid that was on television. He was on a reality show, and he was a boy, and he is a boy, but his mother allowed him to go through a transition to become a girl, quote unquote, and assume this transgender identity. Before he went through puberty, he was put on puberty blockers, and he was cross-sex hormoning. And so he was already likely infertile for life. But his mother, before he was an adult, when he was still a minor, allowed him to undergo a surgery to remove his male reproductive anatomy. And I read an article about the procedure that they did on him, and he had to go through horrific surgeries because they remove the male reproductive anatomy, and then they try to fashion female reproductive anatomy based on what's left over from the male reproductive anatomy. And so you create this cavity, and then the cavity has to be maintained with some sort of a stent to keep it open, because your body treats it as a wound, because it is a wound. It doesn't become the other sex reproductive anatomy. It's just a wound that you have to maintain for the rest of your life. And there's no sexual functionality, like reproductive functionality. It just is cosmetically trying to look like the opposite sex. And so that child is what Colin just said. That child is going to have to maintain that wound to make it sort of look like the female reproductive anatomy for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. Or it's just going to close up and there's going to be, nothing there. And so what I'm describing, if it's making your skin crawl, it should, because guess what? People were doing this to their children. Some people are still doing this to their children. And if you're, falsifying medical codes so you can get reimbursed for these experimental treatments that are highly destructive, yes, the people who did that need to be held accountable. I have no idea whether or not laws were broken, but hopefully they will find out, and hopefully there'll be a reckoning and justice will follow.
Denny, as you were speaking, it really is moving. It's gut-wrenching to hear these stories. And we really actually, as Christians, need to pay attention and need to understand the specifics of what's going on in these kinds of treatments, whether they're the hormone treatments or these really gruesome and horrifying, frankly, surgical treatments. We need to be able to look at these things and see them for what they are. They are destructive, and they're evil, and they're wicked. And as we get to a close here, I'm just thankful that, hey, this is hopefully one step forward where we have a government speaking truth to the lie of transgenderism. And if there's fraud there, hopefully taking those referrals will take care of that. And then exposing just these horrific and destructive, quote unquote, healthcare treatments that are maiming and sterilizing our young people.
That's exactly right, John. And my takeaway from this is we really need watchmen on the wall.
in all aspects of culture and society, but especially in this one, when we're talking about vulnerable children, we need pastors who are willing to speak the truth and to tell the truth on what is a man, what is a woman, what the Bible teaches about these things, what nature clearly reveals. We need Christians involved in and paying attention to elections, local elections, state elections, national elections, because you better believe this issue shows up not just on that national ballot. It shows up right there in your neighborhood with magistrates and judges and all of the things. These things are frequently coming up. And this is a dividing line issue. You're either for the mutilation of healthy body parts on young children, or you're against it. There's no middle ground here. And very clearly, candidates will demonstrate their loyalties on this issue, many times by party. You need to pay attention to that, and you need to oppose it at the ballot box. And then also you need to speak the truth everywhere you encounter this issue, in your neighbors, with your family, etc.
Well said, Colin. Thank you as well, Denny. Hey, for more information about CBMW, our ministry, and more articles and journal entries on these issues, please visit cbmw.org.